This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We as Christians find some great challenges in the Bible that both increase our influence for the church and enrich our own lives as well. We invite you to continue listening today as we explore those challenges in our new sermon series called Stronger, with today's message entitled Stronger in Character.
We're beginning a new sermon series today entitled Stronger. We're going to take a look at what it takes to grow stronger in key areas of our lives. And today we're looking at the subject of character. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you this day for your grace and truth. Oh, how we need those things in our lives. As we open your holy word and study it this day, we ask that your Holy Spirit would enter into our hearts and minds and conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. In his name we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, beginning verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here ends our reading.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Lord, I want to be more loving.
Dear friends, the Bible is full of challenges to each person who's a Christian follower to arrange his or her life so that you can have the highest possible spiritual influence on those that are around you. Jesus said, for instance, to the disciples after his resurrection, "You shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Or on the mountaintop, "Go make disciples of all nations," he said to those disciples. Also, we know early on in his ministry, he said to them, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of people. I want you to influence others." And then finally, we know about the light of the world, "Let your light shine." And the last one that I wanted to spend a little time focused on today is, "You are the salt of the earth, but what if salt has lost its taste? How do we restore its saltiness?" I don't know about you, but I wish I were saltier, stronger, more savory, more potent in my influencing others for Jesus Christ. For the next few weeks, I want to take a look with you at some key areas of our lives that we could get stronger and then increase our influence for Jesus, as well as enrich our own lives along the way. Today, our subject is stronger in character. Perhaps you've heard the old adage, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." It's talking about character. Now, character is a broad subject, I admit, but what I want to look at is what I think forms the core of character, and that's this whole matter of truth-telling, honesty, and integrity. We value that, don't we? If you're a follower, you're looking for that from your leaders. If you're a single person, it's probably near the top of your list as you look for that significant other to spend your life with, someone who will tell me the truth. Husbands and wives expect that from one another. Employees want it from their bosses and vice versa. Citizens want it from their elected officials. Telling the truth is important to us. After all, I hate to be lied to, don't you? I mean, I've seen what it can do to a relationship, and I've felt the pain of being lied to. The irony is that even though I don't like it, I'm not absolutely guiltless in this matter myself. I've told my fair share of white lies or stretched the truth or exaggerated things along the way, and it bothers me about myself, as I imagine it bothers you as well. That's why we have confession. The Lord promises to forgive us. But if it bothers a loser like me, have you stopped to think about and imagine what lying does to our God who always tells the truth? I mean, from the beginning to the end of Scripture, we know that God values truth, that he hates lying. Proverbs tells us lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The eighth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Saul and David both got in great trouble for their lying. Of course, Jesus came along, the Son of God, and he entered our world full of grace and truth, John's Gospel tells us. God is about truth. And he said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." In other words, be a person of your word, have integrity. And so we're not surprised, I suppose, as we find Paul writing to some Ephesian Christians in our passage for today, telling them that as new people in Christ, the truth matters. If you'll recall with me, the first three chapters of Ephesians is Paul reviewing with them the blessings of being a follower of Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to have Christ in one's life. There's forgiveness for your sins, the promise of everlasting life, a restored relationship with God, new brothers and sisters in community of Christ. But when he gets to chapter 4, he has his big therefore hinge. For the rest of his letter, he spends his time talking about the practical matters of living out your faith. He says, "Therefore, I appeal to you, live your lives in a manner that is worthy of your calling." And near the top of the list, as he lays that out for them, is this passage I read for you from verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be people who tell the truth, he's saying. If we're going to operate well as Christ's representatives, as the body of Christ, if we're going to be the salt and light in our society and be effective, then we as individuals need to be known as people of integrity and truth-telling. Why do you suppose Paul would put this near the top of his list? I think that maybe he had a story in mind that he had heard about from the very early days of the Christian church. If you'll recall with me, after the Pentecost day, thousands of people began to be attracted to Jesus Christ and joined the church. Miracles were happening. It was an exciting movement to be a part of. People that were well off had a real heart for taking care of others who weren't so well off. One of those, his name was Barnabas. When he saw some of the poor in his congregation, he went out and sold his property and gave all the proceeds to the disciples to share with the poor. Of course, I'm sure it raised a stir and inspiration in that congregation. And when another couple named Ananias and Sapphira saw the positive inspiration and acclaim that Barnabas was receiving, they decided they wanted to do something like that too. So they went out and sold their property, and they gave the gift to the disciples. But before they gave the gift, they took out part of the money and kept it for themselves. And then they told the disciples a lie, saying, "This is all the proceeds from the sale of our land." And of course, they got acclaim too, until Peter found out one day that it wasn't the truth. So he called Ananias, the husband, in. He said, "Did you really give all the proceeds?" Ananias said, "Absolutely." Paul says, "Not only, Ananias, did you lie to us, you lied to the Lord." And Ananias dropped dead as a doornail right on the spot, and they dragged his body away and buried him. A few hours later, Sapphira, his wife, came looking for him and asked Peter, and Peter said, "Sapphira, did you give all the proceeds from the sale of your land to the church? Thank you for the gift." She said, "Yeah, we did." And he said, "Your husband just died telling me that lie, and now you've lied," and she dropped dead. And the story ends this way, "And great fear came upon the whole congregation." Can you imagine? Of course there was fear. Fear of God, fear of lying. Because God is sending a very strong signal to the early church about lying and truth-telling. God is teaching that congregation and us as well, lying amongst my people is out. Because when lying begins to happen, what's at stake is a lack of trust and unity. And when trust is broken, things break down. How critical truth-telling is in the church, and in any relationship for that matter, because when the trust is lost because of lack of truth, destructive things begin to happen. God loves his church. He wanted it to succeed. And so they learned a lesson that day. Now, you and I know that we ourselves are surrounded by a society that has a lot of spin and deception and white lies and so on. And we hear it so much, we tend to get desensitized to it. And we tend to fall prey to it a bit ourselves as we live out our lives in this world. It's easy to give in to the temptation of telling a lie. We tell white lies and fibs and half-truths, or keep quiet when the truth is needed. We don't volunteer all the information, or we stretch things a bit when we're doing our taxes, perhaps, or telling a story to someone else. Why do we do that? Well, for convenience sake, for one thing. Sometimes it seems like the easy thing to do, but it's sometimes a way to stay out of trouble in our minds. We think, well, we don't want to get caught at something, or there's personal gain to be had, or make an impression upon somebody about how wonderful we are, or or our peer pressure can sometimes paralyze the truth within us from coming out because we're more fearful of what people might think of us than what God thinks of us. But listen, my dear brothers and sisters, if we truly have tasted God's grace through Christ and we love our Heavenly Father for what He's done for us, don't we want to please Him with our lives, to live in a responsive way that just says, thank you, I love you, Lord? You know that proverb I quoted about lying lips? It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Truth-telling is His delight when it comes from His children. We delight Him as we tell the truth. And not only that, it strengthens our testimony for Jesus. Jim Borgi was writing in one of his books a story about a devout Christian man from his congregation. He was conducting a funeral for him. He was a concrete contractor. And following the service, one of those who knew this man well said to Borgi, Al was quite a guy. His word was always his bond. Isn't that what you want to have said about you? I know that's what I want said about me. There's a person whose word is his bond. He can be trusted. So, how do I get stronger in this whole matter of being a truth teller? I give you five ideas here to consider. Number one, first, we need to fully grasp how it breaks God's heart when we lie at any level. Let that be your motivation. If you love your Father, this breaks your Heavenly Father's heart. After all, Jesus, the Son of God, actually said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, the truth gave His life for you. And He's counting on you to dedicate your life to the truth, His truth, as well as all truth. Number two, fully grasp the damage that a lie can do. Just think about how this can hurt others and ourselves. Someone has said, I'm so glad that people aren't struck dead for lying like Ananias and Sapphira were back in that Acts story. Well, I'm not so sure that doesn't happen. Maybe not the death of the body happening, but I've seen the death of a marriage. Lying is the dry rot of every relationship and destroys it at its center. I've seen it. It's the death of a conscience I've seen, too. The tragedy of the second lie is that it's easier to tell than the first one, someone has written. I've seen the death of a promising career. The employee who got fired, arrested for embezzling. Or the businessman who cheated a customer, told him that he'd have something done and didn't get it done. Or the student who got booted out of school for cheating. I've seen the death of reputations. That man swindled somebody. He's not to be trusted. And last but not least, it can be the death of your witness, your testimony for Jesus Christ. If people can't trust you with the day-to-day, how do you expect them to trust you when you're talking about eternal matters? Who you are speaks so loudly. Remember, I can't hear what you're saying. Number three, fully grasp how much work it is to tell a lie. After you've told it, you're always needing to cover for yourself. You're always straining to remember just exactly what you said in order to not be caught in the lie. Four, make a deliberate decision. Choose a day when you say, all forms of deceit stop on this day for me. Draw a line in the sand for yourself. Why do that? Because you ask an alcoholic or an addict how they found sobriety. It always began with a day when a decision was made at a point in time when you said, enough is enough, life's out of control, I surrender, I don't want to do this anymore, God help me. Maybe today is a day for you. Can you imagine what could happen if We as a people of God in our congregation were known as people who didn't distort, who were known for verbal precision, who didn't spin things or didn't twist the truth or exaggerate, but were known as people of their word. How that could impact those who maybe need to hear about Christ. And so I would invite you today to make a pledge to God. I came across this pledge, and we can use it today if you want to draw that line in the sand. First part of it says, I serve a God who always only ever tells the truth. How wonderful that is. That's what I love about God. He's faithful and true. He doesn't do spin. When he says, I love you, it's the truth. How do I know it's the truth? Because every one of us has fallen short. He's told us that about ourselves. And because we can't fix ourselves, he gave us Jesus, who died on the cross to fix things for us, to make things right. And God said, that's the truth too. And he raised his son up from the dead on Easter to say, that's true. Sin's taken care of. And he says to us, but you have to make a decision about that. Receive the gift that I want to give you in Christ. And if you do, I will give you my power to transform you. Holy Spirit power, and change your life. It's the truth. I serve a God who always only ever tells the truth. Therefore, from this day forward, with his help, I pledge to become a person who always only ever tells the truth. With his help, not on my own power. I can't do it. Are you ready to make a pledge like that? Well, I invite you today, no pressure. Say this pledge with me. I serve a God who always only ever tells the truth. From this day forward, with God's help, I pledge to become a person who always only ever tells the truth. Which gives us our last thing to consider. The good news is you do not have to attempt this, being a truth teller, on your own power. God has given us the equipment. He's armed us with his Holy Spirit, for one thing. But finally, he's given us prayer. And as we surrender ourselves and pray daily, one day at a time to him, about this whole matter, God promises to be with us and help us. So let's pray right now. Lord, we want stronger families and marriages. We want a strong, vibrant church community. We want to be known as trustworthy in our homes, in our church, in our workplace, in schools, and various places that you have placed us to be salt and light. Help us, O God, by your Spirit, to cultivate truthfulness in our own lives so that we can influence others for Jesus. It's in his name we ask this. Amen.
Jesus gave me a little light. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me a little light. I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me a little light. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This little light.
Shine.
Let your little light shine.
This little
Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you pledge yourself to becoming a truth teller, a person of character, as you rely on the Holy Spirit for strength and power. Christian Crusaders cares deeply about the spiritual lives of our listeners. If you have a concern for which you desire prayer, please contact us by visiting our webpage and follow the Is This For Me? Link. Our board of directors and staff are dedicated to lifting up our listeners to the throne of grace through intercessory prayer. All requests are kept confidential. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing, and all others who have need to listen. If you've enjoyed today's program, we invite you to help support this ministry with your prayers and financial gifts. All donations to this ministry are considered tax-deductible. If you've enjoyed today's program and would like to listen to it again, we invite you to check out our website at christiancrusaders.org. You can also request copies of our message by writing us at Christian Crusaders Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. A gift to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Again, our mailing address is Christian Crusaders Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of broadcasting biblical truth.